And we're so glad that you're here. You're here with an open heart and ready to receive what God has for you. And here's another little funny story. It was nearly Christmas, and Judge Judy was in a happy mood. She asked the defendant, "What are you being prosecuted for?" "Doing my Christmas shopping too early," replied the defendant. "That's not a crime," replied Judge Judy. "How early were you doing your Christmas shopping?" "Before the store opened," replied the defendant. I'll tell you what, we are in a great, great season of time. It is Christmas season where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And this scripture sets the tone for our theme this month, the month of December. This was when the angel was talking to the shepherds, and the angel said in verse 10 unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Did you know that you're part of the all people? And God came to give you great joy. This was such wonderful, such astounding news that he had to get your attention and say, "Behold." You know, when someone says "behold," they want you to look at it. They want you to focus your attention on it. It's like a big surprise. And the kind of news that the angel brought, it was good news, and this good news would produce great joy. How many want some great joy today? You know, maybe you came in and your joy meter is a little low. Well, you're in the right place. We're going to turn that meter. We hope that meter explodes. And we want you to have such great joy today. All right? And I'm going to help you how to get that great joy that God promised. There is great joy. I love that. You know, God doesn't use adjectives lightly. When God says it's great, I mean, it's above what we could even ask or think. It's beyond our comprehension. It is, it's amazing. It's wonderful. We don't even have the adequate words to describe how great the joy is. But you know what? Joy has come to the world. And our theme for this month is joy to the world. So I pray that as God's word goes forth, that you will grab hold of the joy that God wants you to have and you'll receive it. Amen? Now, I could throw a ball to you, but if you don't catch it, you know, it's not going to matter. You got to catch the joy. You've got to receive the joy that God is giving. Amen? You've got to do it by faith. And this word, it signifies cheerfulness. It signifies a calm delight. It is associated with gladness, right? God will turn your sadness into gladness, right? And it can also be described as exceeding joyful. I mean, you have a joy level, but the message you're going to hear, it's going to go past that level. The meter won't even be able to read how much joy that you can have today. Great joy, exceeding joy. And, you know, not everybody was joyful when Jesus was born. I mean, Herod certainly wasn't joyful when he thought that a king was going to be born. A large part of the Jewish nation, you know, they didn't receive him. That tells me that they weren't really joyful at his appearing. And some of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, when they saw him, they wanted to kill him. So that tells me that they didn't receive the joy that he came to give, right? So this joy that we're talking, did you know that there are different levels of joy? And I found this in one of the commentaries. A delight, joy is a delight of the mind that is associated with good. Okay? When you limit your desires to your possessions, you have what's called contentment. Okay? But when your desires are raised high and accomplished, you call that satisfaction. Okay, I'm talking, just sharing with you some levels of joy. When you rejoice upon the account of any good which others obtain, it may be sympathy or congratulation. When joy possesses your soul for a period of time, it becomes cheerfulness. And you have a cheerful disposition, okay? I mean, you know when someone is cheerful. They brighten the room when they walk in, right? They're just kind of bubbly. They kind of got a bounce to their walk. When your joy is derived from some comical occasion or amusement, it's called mirth or laughter. When your joy arises from considerable opposition that it vanquished in the pursuit of good, we call that triumph. And the highest degree of joy is exaltation. I thought that was pretty good. All right? Now, the source of our joy, the source of a Christian's joy, our joy comes from God Himself. It is not based on where you are in your life. It is not based on what has happened to you, but it comes from God. God is the source of our joy. Now that tells me if God gave you the joy, the world can't take it away, or the world can't diminish it, or the world can't decrease it because they didn't give it to you. Amen? Your joy has to be in God. And you can joy in Christ, the Messiah who came. He loved us so much that he became one of us. Not only were we made in his image and his likeness, but he came and he became one of us and walked among us. He showed us how to live in the kingdom by his example. Okay? I'm just letting the joy build. Okay? We're getting the pressure built up. Did you know that our joy can be in the promises of God? Did you know that what God said is true? You can have what God said. You can do what God says you can do. God's promises are a sure foundation. You can have joy knowing that God promised you something. Because whatever God promised, he will deliver. And there is no time limit on what God has promised. Just ask Abraham. 25 years later, the promise came to pass, and he became a father of the one that God wanted him to have. Our joy can come in the administration of the gospel. The gospel is good news. How many like good news? Good news is better than bad news. We have the message of good news. You can be forgiven, you can be healed, you can be delivered, you can find your purpose. It's good news. Whenever you share the gospel, share the goodness of God. And then we can find our joy in how the kingdom of God is growing, right? Isn't it awesome to be part of a growing family that's still growing? And, you know, like I said, we're going to have a great time in heaven. And then our joy can be found in our future. When you believe in Jesus Christ, your future is heaven. Your future is bright. Your future is good. And it doesn't matter what happens because when you die, you're going to experience heaven. You're going to be in the presence of God. And that's a good thing. We can take joy in that. Now I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to see how a person by the name of Mary was able to receive the joy that God wants the world to have. And we're going to look at how she received this joy. Okay? And in Luke chapter 1, verse 27, it says, verse 26 says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. God sent his messenger named Gabriel. And he had a special assignment, and he had a message of good news to deliver to a woman who was a virgin. Okay? And to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail! Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. How many know Jesus brings joy? He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall deliver. There we go. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay? What are the reasons that Mary could rejoice? Or Mary could experience great joy? Or what evidence do we have that joy came to Mary? Number one, the angel from God told her to rejoice. When King James says hail, but that word actually means rejoice. How many know when God says rejoice, you can rejoice? You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to have a ooey gooey, uzzy fuzzy feeling on the inside of you. When God says rejoice, you can rejoice. How do I know? When God talked to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come out of that tomb, Lazarus came out of that tomb. When God told to a lame man, he said, arise and walk and pick up your mat, that lame man listened to what he said and he arose, he picked up his mat and he walked. That man who had the hand that was withered, when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, that man was able to stretch forth his hand. Just as the man was able to stretch forth his hand, just as Lazarus walked out of the grave, and just as that lame man walked, if God says rejoice, then you can rejoice. She had a reason to rejoice. A messenger from God, from heaven, came and said, Hail. He said, rejoice. You know, sometimes God has to remind us to rejoice. Philippians 4, in case you didn't hear, he said, rejoice. And then he said, and again I say, rejoice. Well, how can I rejoice when I don't feel like it? You can do it by faith. How do people get saved? Did you see Jesus? Did you feel Jesus? No. You believed in who he was. You confessed his name, and he came into your heart to live. So when God says rejoice, your only response is to rejoice. Now, how you rejoice, it can come out in several ways. You could shout, you could laugh, you could fall down. I mean, it doesn't matter how you rejoice. The point is that when God says rejoice, you take his word at it. You believe what he said, and you just rejoice because he said it. And because he said it, you can do it. If he says to rejoice, then you obviously have the ability to do so. If God told Moses, I want you to go into Egypt and deliver my people, obviously he had the ability to do so. Amen? And don't sit there. When God says rejoice, don't sit there and try to argue with God, well, how should I do it? Don't worry about the how. Just do it. Amen. Just let it come out. Let joy infuse your facial expression. Let joy resound in your vocal cords. Let joy get in your bones and in your muscles and move your hands and feet. Yes. And however you express it, it doesn't matter how. Just do it. Amen. Joy is the chief Christian duty. We can rejoice in the Lord in His presence because He has come to us. He has made a way where we can come to Him. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. I mean, we sang the song today, "It Is Well With My Soul." How could you write a song like that after losing four daughters in a shipwreck and losing a son to scarlet fever? Obviously, the man who wrote that song, his joy wasn't in life circumstances. His joy was in the Lord because he wrote, I'm rejoicing for the joy that you taught me. Something inside his heart taught him to have a joy. Do you realize "It Is Well With My Soul" is the same response that the Shunammite woman gave to Elisha when her son was dead and she was trying to take her son to the prophet and they said, "Is everything okay?" She said, "It is well." It is well. But guess what? That statement gave her what she had. How many know your statement can make the difference in your life, positive or negative? Okay, what's another reason? Okay, Mary could rejoice. She could have great joy because the Lord, the angel of God said to rejoice. And if God says rejoice, I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to reason. I'm just going to rejoice. And I don't care how I look. I'm going to rejoice because, let me tell you, rejoicing is fun. Rejoicing is exciting. If God wanted us to be a old fuddy-duddy that just sits on the log and has a scowl on our face, that's not the Christian life. I mean, I'll tell you what, God has a kick in heaven over people that don't believe He exists. He laughs at the people that says He doesn't exist. No, our God is a joyful God. Our God is a happy God, and He wants happy people. So why don't you tell your mind today, tell yourself, say, self, you're going to be happy today because you're going to have the joy that comes from heaven. Amen. Okay, the second reason that she could rejoice is The angel said to her, "Hail, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Did you know if you knew that the Lord is with you, you could rejoice? She could rejoice because the angel is telling her that God is with her. I mean, we know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph, Jacob's son, he was thrown into a pit. Now, how many of you have been in the pits? Right? Being in the pits isn't fun, and maybe you had a pity party while you were in the pit. Okay? Don't raise your hands. If you did, we've all been there, right? But there was something that the Bible tells us that continually caused Joseph to overcome. The Bible reiterates, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him in the pit. The Lord was with him when he was sent to Egypt. The Lord was with him when he was in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with him when he was in the prison. And the Lord was with him when he was in the palace. Everywhere that Joseph went, the Lord was with him. And everywhere the Lord was with him, Joseph prospered. Joseph increased. Joseph was promoted. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Knowing that, the Lord is with you today. You got to believe that God is with you. God is for you. He's not against you. He's the one cheering you on. He's the one giving you strength. He's the one that's trying to help you. You got to know that God is with you. In Exodus 33:14, you don't have to turn there, but Moses and God were having a conversation. And God was telling Moses, my presence will go with you. And Moses said, good, because if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not moving. How many know you don't want to do things without God's presence? Because what happens in Psalm 16, 11, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Wherever you go and you know that God is with you, you are going with full joy. You are going with pleasures. You are going with God's strength and God's power. That means anything that you face, you can overcome. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We've got to believe that he is with us. This was a source of rejoicing for Mary, knowing that God was with her. 2 Corinthians 6:16 talks about that we are God's sanctuary. Well, I thought the building on the hill was the sanctuary. Well, this is a sanctuary too, but more importantly, each one of us are a sanctuary for God's presence. Did you know that God wants to dwell in you? God promised his people. He said, I will be your God. I will dwell with you. I will be among you. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. And we've got to walk, we've got to live like God is with us. See, when God is with us, we are not defeated, but we are victorious. When God is with us, we have the ability to move mountains that stand in our way from getting from point A to point B. When God is with us, he gives us confidence. When God is with us, you walk differently. I remember hearing a story of a young man, and he had a big older brother. And one time, you know, he liked, in his younger days, he liked to flirt with the girls. And so he was at this place and he was flirting with some girls. And how many know sometimes you can get connected to the wrong one? And well, there was a group of guys that wanted to give him a hard time. But then when he was in trouble, his big brother showed up. All right? And all of a sudden, when he realized that his big brother was up, he started getting a little cocky. You know, you mess with me, you're going to mess with him. And he knew his big brother could handle business, right? See, so when you know that God is with you, it changes your mindset. It causes you to step out of the boat, even when it's impossible, or to step out into the unknown. The Lord told Mary that the Lord is with you. And because the Lord was with her, she had a reason to rejoice. Amen? Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. See, when you know the Lord is with you, it eliminates fear, and you get bold, and you know that nothing is impossible to you. Noah was able to build a boat for 100 years because he knew that God was with him. Daniel was able to sleep silently and sweetly amongst ferocious lions because he knew that God was with him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to face a fiery furnace and go be thrown into one that was hot, knowing that God was with them. And I want you to know this, God is with you today too. You must be confident that God is with you. And it is a reason for rejoicing. It will give you great joy to your life. You can go back to Luke's, to Luke. Another reason that Mary could rejoice, Mary could experience great joy, was she was highly favored. And what that means is it means that she was accepted into the beloved. Go with me to Ephesians 1:6. Hold your place in Luke and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted. That word accepted is the same word that was used highly favored in Mary's account. Did you know that you are accepted in the beloved? God accepts you for who you are. But I guarantee you that when you're with God, you won't stay who you are. But he accepts you as you are, right? You can come to God just as you are. Here I am, God. You can bring all your mess. You can bring all your mistakes. You can bring all your faults. You can bring all your shortcomings, and you can give them to God, and he will take them, and he'll mold them and shape them, and he'll bring something beautiful out of it. He can make beauty out of ashes. He can give you the oil of joy. Joy is a combination of joy and oil together. Some of us need some joy today. We got to joil our gears. See, the more oil you have, the better it is you run. So when you're mourning, when you're sad, you just need an oil change. You need to come in to God's shop, and he needs to drain off the junk and put in fresh, new oil that's been anointed with joy. And God will infuse your disposition with joy so that you can function. She was highly favored. You know what that word means? She received grace. Did you know that Mary received grace just like you and I have received grace? Mary was chosen because she believed God. She was of the line of David, and she did her best to follow God's commandments and live righteously. Guess what? You and I are just like Mary. Mary was chosen by grace. She had God's grace, and you and I have God's grace. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. How many know that God gave you a gift? And the gift that he's given us is his grace, his ability, his favor, his goodness, his power. God gave you grace. Just like Mary, you are highly favored in God's eyes. Because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees the blood of the cross. He sees Jesus in your place. You're accepted in the beloved. She was highly favored. Go to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. If you listen to what I'm saying today, you can rejoice just like Mary rejoiced. She received joy. Psalm 67, verse 1. God, be merciful unto us, bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Being highly favored just means that God is shining on you. That God's light is on you. That his goodness is on you. How many know the warmth of the sun feels good? If you're cold and the sun's coming through a window and you sit by that window, you suddenly become warm because the warmth of the sun, it makes us feel good. That's how we need to be with Jesus. When his face shines on us, all of us should be sunburned. Not S-U-N, S-O-N. What do I mean by that? It means we should be in God's presence so long enough that we come out glowing. That we come out shining, like Moses did. He spent 40 days in God's presence, and he came down off that mountain and said, Moses, put a veil on your face, man, you're shining. Why? See, when you spend some time in God's light, that light gets on you and it gets in you. And you can't leave God's presence the same as you went in. It's like getting into a river. You'll never get into a river the same place. Why? Because the water is constantly moving. It's fresh water that you step into from here to there. Just like God. But his face shines on us. Go to Psalm 80. Psalm 80 and verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine, and we will be saved. You know, when God's face shines on you, you can be saved. And go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Am I talking to a group of people that know the joyful sound? Yes. Ooh, how do you know that joyful sound? There's been a new song that's been put in my heart. I have a new song. I have a new way of living. I'm a new creature with a new feature. I've got a new walk. I've got a new way of living. You know, God wants us to walk in the newness of life. He doesn't want you to walk in the past. He wants you to walk in something fresh, something new, something that he's created just for you. Well, that could be a good song. Something fresh, something new, something he just created just for you. I feel a rap anointing coming on. And go to Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33 and verse 2. This is about being highly favored. Isaiah 33, verse 2. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for you. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. How many know when you wait for God, he'll show up? When you wait upon the Lord, you can renew your strength. But God is gracious to us. Did you know that God takes time out of his busy schedule just for you? Whenever you come into God's presence, it's never an interruption. It's never a bother. When you walk into the throne room where God is, and he says, yes, my daughter. Yes, my son. What can I do for you today? It's God's grace. It's being highly favored. Say, I'm highly favored. Say, God's gracious to me. Doesn't that make you want to just shout? Doesn't that make you want to rejoice? Doesn't that get you excited that God is gracious to me? But God, you don't know what I've done. Yes, but I'm gracious to you. While you were a sinner, he said, I loved you. While you were separated from me, doing your own thing in darkness, he said, I love you and I will keep loving you. I won't stop loving you. I will always love you. No matter what we do, he loves us. Another reason that Mary could rejoice and experience joy is because she was blessed. You are blessed, Mary. You are blessed, son. You are blessed, daughter. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That means she would increase. She would be protected. She'd be preserved and provided for. She would be sustained wherever she went, and things would turn out well for her. When God says you're blessed, you're blessed. When you're blessed, you have no stress. When you're blessed, you have God's best. When you're blessed, you can pass every test. When you're blessed, you can make a nest in God's presence and just hang out there. Hallelujah. Mary could rejoice because the angel told her. She said, you're blessed. Does God have to send an angel to show up to you to tell you you're blessed? Or can you read it in his word and say, when he says you're blessed, do you take that to yourself and say, yes, I am blessed. I'm so blessed. I'll never forget one of our dear brothers, Ron Easterling. Some of you may know him. Every time you'd ask him how he was, he said, I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored. And, you know, he would just go off on this. But he would always say how blessed he was. Didn't matter what the pain he was going through or what the things he was facing. Every time you asked him in his daily conversation, he declared that he was blessed. We need to be people like that. We need to declare that we're blessed. Pick up your head, you're blessed. Pick up your feet, you're blessed. Leave that pity party, you're blessed. Quit feeling sorry for yourself, you're blessed. Don't think that you're, wipe those unworthy thoughts out of you, you're blessed. Mary was blessed. A blessed person, according to Psalms 1, increases, is fruitful, and prosperous. Maybe you're not blessed because you've been silent about the matter. Uh-oh. Now you're telling on me, Pastor, I know. If you're blessed, you ought to say so. You know, I don't know if you ever heard that song, "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So." The Bible's not telling you to say so. I mean, we used to sing that song. It's "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So." And we'd all say, "So." No, that's not what it's saying. You're supposed to say, "I'm redeemed." You're supposed to be bold about what God did for you. You're not supposed to say, "So." You're supposed to say, "I'm redeemed. Let the Redeemed of the Lord say so." So, no, don't say so. Say, "I'm redeemed." You may have heard that song, I don't know. Another reason that Mary could experience joy, she was freely loved by God. I mean, God really loved her. Oh yeah, but that's Mary. She's the mother of Jesus. Oh, you know what? Mary's just like you and I. She's no different than you and I. She had to get saved by grace just like you and I. She had to have faith in Jesus just like you and I. But you've got to know that you're loved by God. You've got to declare that God loves me. He loves you for who you are. He created you. I mean, any person that can number the hairs on your head, they must really love you. Any person that will give you breath that causes you to be a living soul must love you. Anybody that would be willing to die for you must really love you. Oh, you've got to have joy in the fact that God loves you. Mary, God took delight in Mary. Why? Because she was righteous. She lived according to the word. She accepted the word of God. Whatever God said about her, she said, "Yes, I'm it. I am whatever you say I am. If you say I'm pregnant before I'm married, then I'm pregnant before I'm married." How many know that that wasn't the easiest thing to go through? Do you realize her cousin Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months because she was pregnant? Why? Because don't you think that Mary was criticized at all? Don't you think that, you know, society, there were some people in society that probably said some things. "Mary, how could you? It wasn't me." See, you know what people think because we've all thought those things. We all speculate why things happen, don't we? Well, this happens because of this. No. But you know what? Did you know that God gave Mary his grace and his love to prepare her for that? She was equipped to face all the challenges that she was going to face because of what God had given her. Mary received grace and favor from God because she needed it to endure and do God's will. It's not easy being a teenager that's pregnant and you're engaged. And eventually people are going to figure out what's happening, right? Another thing that Mary could rejoice about, the angel told her not to fear. How many know that you can rejoice over the fact that you don't have to be afraid? Yeah. Does that get anybody excited? Yeah. If God tells you, "Do not be afraid," okay. all you got to say is, okay. Then when fear knocks at the door, open the door, sorry, you got the wrong address, see ya. I mean, not being afraid is worth rejoicing about. You know, there are seven things that you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear lack because God will bless you. You don't have to fear not having enough because God supplies your needs, wants, and desires. You don't have to fear evil because God will protect you from evil. You don't have to fear weakness because God will be your strength in weakness. You don't have to fear people who are against you because Jesus is your companion and he redeems you. You don't have to fear going without because God cares for you. And you don't have to fear death because Jesus is the first and the last, and the first and the last, and he's the resurrection and the life. And then finally, I'm going to finish with this today. There was something that Mary had that caused her to have the most joy ever. The angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus." There is joy in calling on the name of Jesus. His name means Savior. There's joy in calling on his. God is whatever you need him to be, and he has a name for it. His name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Let me encourage you, do it sooner rather than later. When you confess that Jesus is Lord, you're calling on his name. He is the Lord. That's his name. Who is he? He's your Lord. That means he gets to tell you where to go, what to do, and how to do it. The angel said, call his name Jesus. Whenever you call on the name, that name is going to bring power. It's going to bring deliverance. It's going to bring salvation. It's going to bring whatever it is you need. Jesus has a more excellent name than angels, according to Hebrews 1:4. His name in Revelation 19, he's the King of Kings. He has his name written on his leg. His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is faithful and true, and his name is the Word of God. His name endures forever. You know what? He even gets a name in heaven that only he knows. It's unknown to everyone else. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. He's the Father to the fathers. If you had problems with your natural father, you can get it right with your heavenly father. His name. Call his name. Call his name. What do you need? If you need healing, say, Jesus, you're my healer. Call his name healer. Call his name savior. Call his name provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. His name is whatever you need him to be. Why? He is I am that I am. I am ever present. I'm all that you need. I'm all that you want. I'm all that you desire. I'm the total package. Moses said, who should I tell him that's sending me? Tell him I am that I am. I am whatever you need. His name is an important key to answered prayer. Ask in my name. When you ask in my name, I will give you my joy and your joy will be full. How many know you got to ask in his name? If you want effective prayer, you got to ask in the name of Jesus. There's something about his name. And when the angel said, call his name Jesus, he was giving her the key to joy. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. God has given us a way to make things right when we're wrong. And guess what? All of us will be wrong at some point. But what you do when you're wrong will determine what God will do. When we're wrong and we find out that we're wrong, okay, I'm going down this direction. This is the wrong way. I'm going down a one-way street the wrong way. That actually happened to me in Chicago. I was with my friend whose brother lived in Chicago, and we were going to see his brother, and we're traveling down the street, and I looked at my friend, and his name was Arnold. I said, Arnold, I said, all the cars are facing us. We're going down the street the wrong way. So what did we do? We stopped going the wrong way, and we turned around and started going the right way. When you find out that you're going the wrong way, stop, drop, and repent. Repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name. And we've preached it here. Did you know that according to John 20, 31, you have life in his name? If you don't like the life that you had so far, why don't you change it? Get a new life. Get God's life. God's life isn't boring. God's life isn't dull. God's life is awesome. And did you know that faith in his name makes you whole? When Peter and John were at the Gate Beautiful, they said, faith in his name made this man whole. So when the angel told Mary to name him Jesus, name him Savior, his name is what he does. His name is who he is. So these are the reasons that Mary could receive great joy. These were the reasons that she could rejoice. Mary could rejoice because the message from God to her was to rejoice. She could rejoice because the Lord was with her. She could rejoice because she was highly favored. She could rejoice because she was blessed. She could rejoice because she was freely loved by God. She could rejoice because she doesn't have to fear, and she could rejoice because she could call on his name. Now, is that reason for you? Do you need any other reasons of why you should rejoice today? It's time to put on your happy face. It's time to get excited about Jesus. Amen? Listen, we serve a good God. He does great things. Think about where you were and think about where you are. Think about what he brought you through. Think about the times that you should have died but didn't die. Think about the times when you felt like everything was going to fall apart, but then God reached down and he fixed it. He brought it together. He reconciled it. He delivered it. He healed it. I'm telling you, we have a reason to rejoice today. We have a reason to have great joy today. We need to get excited about Jesus. We need to get excited. We need to be happy Christians. We need to be joyful Christians. We need to be exalted Christians. Because our God is good. Some of you want to stand up. Why are you still sitting? Come on. I know that some of you want to stand up and shout. You want to stand up and let loose. Some people, we got some people that let loose. Listen, don't bottle it up. Let it out. Let the shout out. Come on. God's about to turn your situation around. He's about to do something on your behalf. He's about to work a miracle. He's about to bring a deliverance. He's about to turn something around. We have something to get excited about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God came to give great joy to all of us. See, now doesn't that feel better? Joy is much better when you let it out. It's like a volcano on the inside of you. But when you let it out, it's like, whoo, it brings relief. It brings peace. Now, I don't care what people think. Listen, I'm a fanatic. I'm a big fan of Jesus. And I think of David when he tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistines. First time he tried it, he did it the religious way. The pomp and circumstance, that's okay in its place, but that wasn't what God wanted. He wanted some worshipers who would become undignified in his presence. And David, he got his heart right with God, and he started to take that ark on the shoulders instead of the cart. He started to bring it back to Jerusalem, and every time he would walk a period of time, he would bow down and worship God. He'd walk a little more. He'd bow down and worship God, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit David, and he began to jump up and spin around wildly because, and you know what? People thought that, oh, the king shouldn't act that way, and David said, I'll tell you what, I'll be more undignified than this. Listen, I'm not afraid to get undignified in God's presence. I'm not afraid to get my hair messed in God's presence. I'm not afraid to loose my coat in God's presence. Because I'll tell you what, when God's presence moves on me, something happens on the inside of me. I can't stay silent. I can't stay still. I gotta let it out. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the true joy in this place today. We thank you, Father, for letting your joy become infectious, letting your joy become free-flowing in the name of Jesus. And I give you thanks and praise today, Father, that you've given us your word on how to have great joy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, if you feel like you need a joy boost, I've got a joy boost for you. If you feel like you need a touch from God, in any area of your life, your body, your finances, your relationships, how many know God's here? God is with us. And if that's you, I just want you to come up right now, and I want you to come up receiving and believing that God is going to touch you. Father, we thank you for your precious, wonderful anointing in the name of Jesus. God's going to fill you today. He's going to touch you today. His presence is going to come right here, right now. Things are going to be different in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we release that anointing right now in Jesus' name. Be full and be free in Jesus' name. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise right now, Father, for the touch of the Master's hand in Jesus' name. Something happens when he touches you. His touch is too much. Oh, his touch is more than enough. His touch can do the stuff. Oh, touch it right now, Father, in